views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, building strong relationships with your loved ones. Now, this is a really big topic area. So it's not like we're going to talk about it today and then we're done. Today, we're just going to talk about one specific piece of it. And that is how you can zero in on what you're putting into the relationship and what you might accidentally be taking away from it. Because at the end of the day, it's kind of the balance between these things of putting things in and taking things away that will become the measure of your relationship. This is a really important topic for you to be aware of, because how strong your relationship is with your child is going to determine whether or not they want to be part of your life when they're old enough to move away from home and be off on their own. It's also an important topic if you have a partner in your life, a lover, a boyfriend, a husband, a girlfriend, and you really want to create a strong relationship that can weather the test of time. This is a key piece to helping you create those vibrant, powerful relationships that ultimately most of us crave. Now, what often happens is right at the time when we have children, we are also incredibly busy. Sometimes we have aging parents that we need to look after. Sometimes we have a career that we're still trying to work on. Plus, we might want to put our kids in extracurricular activities. So at a time when we really want to be building strong relationship, we're pretty much tapped out. We don't have a ton of energy. We don't have a ton of time. And so often what happens is we actually end up being more patient and polite with total strangers, like maybe the waitress at a restaurant or the gas attendant at the grocery store, than we are with these little beings that we love more than anything else in the world. Because we like to put them in extracurricular activity, we're also adding to the stress. And we sometimes do it with a sense of, I'm going to do this for you, but in exchange, I'm going to be extra stressed out because now I've got to get you to this event, you know, after school. I've got to feed you. I still have my full to-do list. And so they might be a little bit tired. They might not really want that much structure. And you might find that you're pushing yourself hard. And so therefore, you are more stressed. You have less patience. And it's just that much harder for you to actually spend that quality time with them. So let me put this in a way that it really sinks in, because this is just such a critical thing for everyone to understand. Nothing will be as important 20 years from now than the relationship you have built with your kids. It doesn't matter if you sacrifice so much for them, you know, maybe you get up every day at 5 a.m. in order to get them to the rink or dance studio before they have to go to school. Or maybe you take a second mortgage out on the house so that they can have the equipment that they need or travel where they need to travel. Maybe you put your own career, your own dreams and goals on hold just so that your child can do the things that they want to do. None of those things matter if you do this stuff at the expense of the relationship. And all you need is to understand, to know what are the things that you're doing that are actually taking, and what are the things that you're doing that are actually giving. It doesn't mean you can never be grouchy, you can never have an off day, or that you always have to be patient and be like the leave it to beaver type mom. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that with awareness, you really can create that relationship that matters. And that relationship is the one where your kids come around and visit you and want to spend time with you and phone you because they're excited to tell you things, because they love having you in your life, because you are very important to them. And I think as vibrant, powerful moms, that's ultimately what we all want. None of us are trying to raise our kids just to get them out the door and then have nothing more to do with them. At least that's what I like to believe. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't put your kids in extracurricular activities. This is a very important part of life for kids, how we give them more opportunity, how we help them to be a more well-rounded individual. So you don't have to put them in extracurric, but if you want to, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying, let's do it with awareness and let's see what comes when we do it that way. This information doesn't only apply to relationship with kids. It comes into play in any significant relationship. It just comes in a little bit differently. So the relationship you have with your spouse, your lover, your mother, your siblings, your friends, your close colleagues, and so on, every single significant relationship in your life is going to be impacted by this kind of awareness. So it's a really great tool to have in your back pocket. All right, so let's talk about the relationship. Everything that you do in a relationship is either giving to it or taking away from it. Those things that show and build trust give to the relationship, while those things that break or weaken trust take away from it. As you take away from a relationship, you'll notice that things start to feel different. They feel kind of strained, unless you're putting back a good deal of what you're taking. Now, this can sound really obvious. I know that. But the truth is, people overlook it all the time. Let me give you an example of a woman named Sally. Sally is the mom of a 7-year-old boy, Nolan. And when Nolan was a baby, Sally stayed home with him for the full year maternity leave. So she spent lots of time creating a strong bond between them. She played with him, she cuddled, she read to him, she took him on adventures. You know, she just did everything with him. Now, she returned to work for a year and then left for a second mat leave. And his little brother, Ty, came into the picture. Sally was home for another year. And even though Nolan now had to share her with Ty, which was a little bit frustrating, he loved not having to get up for daycare. And he especially loved playing with his mom. Then mom went back to work and everything changed. Nolan had to get up at 6 and mom was busy trying to get everybody ready to go. When mom got home from work at the end of the day, she's tired, she's busy trying to get supper ready, and you know, she has this huge to-do list, all these chores, so she didn't have a lot of time for playing. Now, she still read to Nolan a story every night before bed, and she found little moments to cuddle, but otherwise Ty took up most of her attention, and Nolan spent most of his time with Dad. So fast forward a few years. Nolan and Ty are both in school, and Sally has put the boys in can skate, beavers, and soccer. Thankfully, the skating and soccer are at different times of the year, so they don't overlap with each other. But this is still a fairly hectic schedule because at least 3 days a week are spent in extracurricular. So in a typical day, Nolan sees his mom when she wakes him up. Now, Nolan does not wake up easily. He's more of a little night owl. He would like to sleep in. And so his mom often gets really frustrated with him. She starts out cheery and loving, like most of us do. Come on, buddy, time to get up. Rise and shine, sleepyhead. And she ends up snapping at him. Nolan, you're going to be late. Get dressed and get down here for breakfast or you're going to miss the bus. You know, if you went to bed when I told you to go to bed at night, this wouldn't be such a problem. You'd find it much easier to get up. Maybe I need to take your computer games away. Is that what needs to happen here? Thankfully, Sally always makes sure that she gives Nolan a hug and tells him she loves him before he goes out the door to get on the bus. The fact that Sally gets to be there to put her kids on the bus is wonderful, but it also means that they have to go to an after-school program most days so that she can work until 5:30. By the time she picks them up and gets home, it's after 6, everyone's hungry and tired. Sally makes Nolan do his homework while she makes supper, which causes a lot of arguments, and although she tries to help him, she's distracted by Ty and the food that she's trying to prepare. And he really just wants to run around and play and have no structure at all. When supper's finished, it's after 7, it's time for a bath, you know, a half hour computer games, and it's time to go to bed. Now, Sally used to use story time as a way to get Nolan off the computer. If you want to have a story, it's time to come now. But then he started choosing computer over story. So that did not work the way she wanted it to work. What I want you to see from this, or what I'm hoping you'll see from this, is that Sally's story isn't very different from many moms that I know. You likely noticed that I hardly brought Dad into the picture, and the reason is because he's really not relevant to this story. When you're looking at relationship building, it only occurs when you're interacting with that person. So when Dad plays with Nolan, helps Nolan with homework, or gives him a bath, Nolan's building relationship with Dad, not with Sally. So let's look at this relationship from the perspective of giving and taking. For the first few years of Nolan's life, Sally gave a lot to the relationship. She played, laughed, cuddled, read stories, regularly expressed how much she loved him, gave him compliments, and looked after him. As Sally's life got busier with Ty, then work, and of course pressing deadlines, Nolan got corrected more, he was ordered around more, and he needed a lot more discipline. These things all take from a relationship. This doesn't mean we should never do them. It's critical that we do. And as our kids grow, we have to set boundaries and then enforce those boundaries and make sure our kids understand why those boundaries are important. That's where discipline or punishment comes in. It just means that we need to be conscious of how much we're doing them and how we're doing them, what kind of voice we're using, how quickly we're going for that expediency of demanding they do what they need to do, or maybe threatening that if they don't do what we need to do, we're going to take something away. Those kinds of things we want to be aware of so that we're not overusing them. Now, in case you're a numbers person, a suggested ratio for the amount you're giving versus the amount you're taking in a relationship is 4:1. In other words, every time you take from a relationship, you want to give at least 4 times to make up for it. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you get hung up on the numbers. I just want you to understand that you need to be giving far more to a relationship than you're taking. It's very easy to take. We can go on autopilot and start taking, taking, taking. And before we know it, our relationship is bankrupt. That's not a good place to be. So we don't want to get there. For many families, they give and give and give for the first few years, but then as time marches on, they start taking more and more on a regular basis. This creates a strain on the relationship. Their child acts out, and then as a result, their child needs to be corrected more, which means they're taking even more. By the time their kids are teens, they're hardly talking to each other, right at a time when they need communication to be open and freely flowing if they want to get the true story. Let me tell you some of the things that you can do to give and those that take. I've created a page that you can have. It's on my website. I'm going to read that list for you right now, and I'm not even going to take the time to explain them all because that could be a podcast all in itself. But for now, just what I want you to notice, what you really want you to pay attention to, is how many of those things you're currently doing. And then later you can get the list and post it up somewhere and have it help you to remember what you need to do to give and what you might do to take. Now, this list is created by me and is meant to help guide you. But understand that you might be a little bit different than I am. Your kids are a little bit different. Personalities make a difference. So, for example, arguing is not on that list, okay? But if it were on the list, then if you have a really strong driver type child that loves to argue and you love to argue, you can have an argument and have it not take from the relationship. It can just be a sharing of opinions and it can be fun and exhilarating. If, on the other hand, your child is an amiable personality, they don't like to argue, they don't like confrontation, and you're a driver, and you're arguing, and you shut down the arguments by putting down your foot, then you're going to be majorly taking from the relationship. So I want you to listen to this list with an open mind and thinking about how it applies to you in your family and how you can use that information to help guide you. But don't think that I'm saying this is the only way to give. This is always going to take. All right? Things that give to a relationship. Giving compliments, showing appreciation, using supportive statements, loving gestures and touches, even smiling at a person gives to the relationship. Listening and sharing pieces of your story. Remembering important details about a person's life, what's going on for them. Giving a genuine apology, and that is a skill. It is not something that most of us have had modeled for us. Making and keeping promises. This actually builds in your relationship, so don't be afraid to make promises. Just make sure they're the kind that you can keep, okay? Like, I'm going to take you to the zoo on Saturday is a promise a person can keep. Acts of kindness, doing something special for that person just because, or even using a voice that projects kindness and understanding. Sending an I believe in you message, which sounds something like, I know you can handle this. Good luck. You can do anything. I believe in you, honey. Laughing together. Standing up for that person, even when he's not around you. That's a tough one for a lot of parents. Using open door communication and effective feedback. And finally, giving the benefit of the doubt and allowing your child privacy. That's a really tough one for a lot of parents right now because of cell phones, because we can look at their text messages in their computer history, and we can even put in cameras and watch what they're doing, when and with whom. And all of those things break trust. So if we want to give to the relationship, we need to show that we trust. We need to focus in on that. So these are the things now that take. All of those things give to the relationship. What are some of the things that take? All right, here we go. Insults, teasing, put downs, joking about a person. Now, if you ever say the words, I was just kidding, then you definitely have done this. And remember, it doesn't mean you should never ever tease. Teasing can be fun, and in a strong relationship can really help to build that relationship. It still takes, but it creates that sense of intimacy. So it's not that you should never do it. You want to limit it, especially when the relationship is already strained. Eye rolling, sneering, pulling rudely away from a touch. Shoulding on a person. You should have. Why didn't you do this? Giving spontaneous solutions or advice. Breaking promises without compensation. So remember that I'm going to take you to the zoo. If it turns out you have to work on Saturday now and you can't take them to the zoo, that's okay, except for you want to compensate in some way. Honey, I'm so sorry I can't take you to the zoo. How can I make this up to you? Physical hurt. This one seems really obvious. Hitting, pinching, pushing. Yet, sometimes people do like to hit each other, especially in a couple relationship. They give each other these friendly whacks on the shoulder, and I've seen those get out of hand and turn into some pretty major bruises. That's taking from the relationship. Threatening, even threatening to take away the computer, to stop the car, any kind of threat. Yelling at, swearing at, and intimidation. You know, where you puff yourself up and if you're going to live under my roof, you're going to do it my way. That kind of thing is intimidation. Giving the message that I don't think you can handle this. You're not good enough, big enough, strong enough. We give that message accidentally, but we do it a lot when our kids are in a difficult situation and we take over. We do it in the name of protecting them. But when we step in, we are inadvertently sending a message that says, you can't handle this, honey. Look out. Mama's got to do it for you. That takes from the relationship. Laughing at the person, gossiping about them or being disloyal, which is making fun of them or telling stories about them when they're not even there. Okay? Pretend they're there beside you and see if that changes what the story sounds like. Correcting, criticizing, interrupting, disciplining, and punishing. Some of those are necessary things for us to do, and yet they do take from the relationship. So you want to be aware of how much you're using them. And finally, distrusting, blaming, assuming that they're guilty before you find out, guilty until proven innocent, and invading privacy. Once you are aware of these things and you notice how often you're doing them, you can get a pretty good handle on what kind of relationship you're building, how much you're giving and how much you're taking away. And then if you can do like a mental measure at the end of the week, you get a pretty good picture of your habits, which might result in you giving yourself a pat on the back and going, yes, I'm doing an awesome job. I'm giving, 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 and I'm taking, but yeah, it's easily I'm giving more than I'm taking away. Or it could result in you feeling a little bit dismayed. Like, I'm taking way more than I'm giving. I don't even know how much I gave in the very beginning. Or it's just been such a bad week. I've taken, taken, taken. So if that's the case for you, take a deep breath. Give yourself a pat on the back for even recognizing that this is going on. And for listening to this podcast so that you can take action to start making positive changes right now. And I mean, I'm talking about simple action, giving a real compliment, saying words of appreciation. A couple notes of caution. Even if you're giving more than you're taking from the relationship, your child can still make a decision that seems totally ridiculous to you. In other words, your child is still living their journey and they can still make mistakes. The second word of caution that I need to share is that you're going to want to revisit this whole idea with each new stage that your child goes through. Because even though you might be doing great right now, while you're, let's say your daughter's in grade 3, when she gets into that tween stage, if she gets into the stage of attitude and testing things and wanting to figure out her boundaries, you might find that you automatically switch into a different mode. You start handling things maybe the way your own parents handled it, or you just start dealing with it as best you can given the stress that you're under and all the things that are going on, and not even realize that you've stopped giving to the relationship. For adult couple relationships, you're going to want to pay attention to the normal ebbs and flows of life, because adult relationships work this way as well, especially in a love relationship. You have that infatuation stage, and that's where you're giving, giving, giving. You're looking, you're focusing on the positives. You're noticing the things that the other person does that you like. You might use words of appreciation. You might give compliments. You know, you're just so much more present. And then life happens, right? Maybe you get married or you have bigger commitments with that person. Maybe you have kids. And now suddenly you find that I don't have the time and the energy to do all this kind of stuff for him or for her. And so I'm yeah, I'm not going to do it. But you're still critical. You're still correcting. You're still demanding. You're still doing all the things that we do when we're in a relationship, especially if we are on autopilot and feeling stressed. Just by becoming aware of this, you can start to change the trajectory of that relationship, because it's so critical. If you're in a two-person parenting relationship, then you really want to put that energy into creating a strong relationship with that other person. Model what a good, strong relationship looks like and make sure that you have that other person's back and they have your back. So by becoming aware of when and how you're taking and making sure that you're putting more than enough back in, you can be building a relationship that is strong no matter how stressed you are in your life. It doesn't take a lot of time or energy to give a compliment, to say how much you appreciate something that someone did for you, or just to be supportive. Life is a game of give and take, so you're going to continue to do both. The difference is when you do it consciously, or at least with more awareness, then you put yourself in the driver's seat of that relationship. You know what you need to do when things are feeling strained. You have ideas for how to start building and adding, even when it's a very stressful time for you. With much respect for you and the journey that you're on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. As a parenting tool, consequences can work well if we allow ourselves to be creative and focus on the learning that is taking place. It teaches our children predictability, responsibility, self-discipline, and the idea that for every action, there is a reaction. It helps us practice creativity, consistency, and self-control. With Mother Nature, there's no settling of scores attached to a consequence, just an end result. So if we can remember to use nature as our role model for creation and delivery of consequences, it's a tool well worth having in our parenting pack. So here's some key points to remember when using consequences. Number one, when possible, allow nature to decide the consequence without your interference. Number two, be consistent, calm, and quick to put pre-planned logical consequences into place. Number three, be sure the consequence fits the crime as closely as possible. Number four, it is the certainty, not the severity, that makes a consequence effective. Mother Nature does not drop the temperature 30 degrees more because a child refused to bring a jacket. This is about learning, not about teaching a lesson. Number five, if your child does not seem upset by the consequence, that's okay. This process is not punishment, but rather about guiding your child towards appropriate behavior. A person who makes a mistake and then cheerfully fixes it should be applauded. Number six, it's okay to tell your child you'll need time to come up with a consequence for an unexpected behavior that requires correction. Consequences should not be given out when you're angry. If your child is pushing your buttons, take time to regain your self-control before acting. Number seven, avoid threatening your child with a consequence when you already have one in place. For example, if your child has been told that she'll have to go inside if she goes out past the garden, she goes inside as soon as she goes out past the garden. Number eight, whenever possible, provide your child with an opportunity to try again later. If you've taken away a toy gun because your son pointed it at his baby sister, give it back to him after the allotted time. For example, maybe you told him to be gone for 5 minutes, and then remind him of the rules of use. If he does it again, take the gun away for a much longer period, so maybe for a full day. And finally, number nine, When possible, provide planned warnings to give your kids a chance to practice their self-control. So there you have it. If consequences are a tool that you want to use, it's well worth remembering that there are definitely some keys that will help them to be more effective.